good afternoon, and welcome to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. And with me in the studio is Emily Oyervides. Did I pronounce that correctly?
It's perfect. Good job.
With the Eco Center. And Tyler Butler with Terradice. Tyler, yours I can pronounce with no problem.
Absolutely.
No problem whatsoever. And quite honestly, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I know it's going to be something with nature. So who wants to go first?
Good question. Emily, what's happening at the Eco Center?
2020 was a rough year for us, so we're in a lot of planning stages right now, just waiting to get through the holidays and figuring out what 2021 will hold for us. Definitely looking to ramp up some summer camp programs, potentially in the next year to 2 years, maybe adding like an overnight feature, which right now is just a day camp. Mm-hmm. And definitely getting the planning started for our Community Earth Day event that we have every April. So that's kind of what's on our plate right now.
Okay. Anything going on at the Eco Center this time of year?
We don't. We're pretty seasonal, March through October. Although we have toyed with the idea of maybe doing like a tree farm, maybe adding some lights and sleigh rides and stuff. So some ideas going, but nothing right now.
Okay. So Tyler, Terradice.
Yeah.
What's going on over there at Terradice?
We are trying to move into 2021 at a pretty steady pace. We ended 2020 with plenty of speakers from all over, from ODNR, from Ohio Dominican, talking about things like macroinvertebrates and water quality health and owls of the Olentangy, which is really, really exciting. And I think I've got Blake Matthews. He's the professor over there, the owl biologist with Ohio Dominican. He's going to come on maybe later in January. So if you want to hear about some owls and how to get involved with observing and counting owls.
Yeah, owls are pretty fascinating. I think we're going to have a good show with that one.
They are absolutely fascinating. Speaking of owls, we saw a good amount of owls yesterday. The 121st Christmas bird count took place yesterday, and that was through Marion Parks District. James Anderson, which is the naturalist over there, fantastic, fantastic naturalist. He is the compiler for the Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area. That's basically the center of our Christmas bird count circle. And we had plenty of volunteers go out and count birds inside of this 15-mile radius circle all day, sun up to sunset. James was out there way before I was. I mean, he was very dedicated to it. I think he messaged me at 4:30 in the morning,
I think. Wow.
To tell me that he saw a couple screech owls. So he was pretty pumped about that. By the time I got out there, I got out to Big Island and saw a short-eared owl out there. Pretty much as soon as we stopped the car, we got out and spotted a short-eared owl kind of soaring around. So that was pretty neat. A couple eagles out there as well. So those are always exciting to see.
And owls are so elusive generally.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Anytime you can sight one, it's pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always, I mean, everybody always gets so pumped about seeing an owl, right? And there's just something special about it. Mm-hmm. There really is. Mm-hmm. Really is. They're just so secretive. And I know right now there are a couple big stories about, where is it? Is it at Ollum, that the snowy owl's out there?
Yep.
I'm a little concerned for that owl with all the attention it's getting, but it's always exciting.
Is that Ollum Creek, did you say?
Mm-hmm. I think it's Ollum Creek, okay. Yeah.
And maybe talk a little bit about why the concern would be. I mean, when you're bird watching, it's not kind of commonplace to say where you saw your birds because you don't want them to be disturbed. And
yeah, and so. it's especially concerning with raptors, raptors being predatory birds, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's commonplace just in the ethics of birding to not really give a location on a raptor, especially an owl or something like a snowy owl, which we
don't
see.
Something's rare.
Too often.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, we don't want to put a lot of pressure on that bird. We want to make sure it gets back to where it needs to go pretty safe. Ohio's pretty much the most southern border you're going to see a snowy owl. Mm-hmm. And when they get down here, you know, it's because they've gotten pressures up north and they need to extend their range a little bit. So when they get down here, they've already got enough pressure on them. We don't want to put any more pressure on them. And so, you know, even with really, really ethical birders out there, there just might be too many of us, right? So I usually refrain from it. It would always be nice to go see the snowy owls, but I always try and refrain, you know. Just one less body may be what makes a difference. So it's nice to see the pictures, though.
What other birds did you see in your counting?
Yeah, it was interesting. So we counted, I think, just my small group. We counted 29 species of bird yesterday.
29 species.
Okay. Yeah, on a pretty warm December day, honestly. I think it got up into the 40s, which was nice. So we saw, let's see, a lot of field sparrows. We saw some chipping sparrows. I saw my first winter towhee, which was really nice. That was a surprising bird. I didn't really expect it. So it was really great to see that bird. Again, like I said, eagles, and they were just bald eagles. And the short-eared owl, we saw many, many kestrels. I was surprised by how many kestrels we saw, which kestrel is a small falcon. We saw eastern bluebirds, lots and lots of northern flickers, a woodpecker. We saw some redhead woodpeckers, downy woodpeckers, hairy woodpeckers. Of course, woodpeckers are generally residential, so you're going to see them all year
round. Did you see woody woodpecker out there?
No woody woodpecker.
Okay.
If I did, though, it would be a considerable bird count at that point. So I think James is still compiling all of the numbers. But when we went out yesterday to count, and this is something that anybody can be involved in, right? You don't have to be a naturalist. You don't have to be a wildlife biologist. If you have an interest in birds or just an interest in citizen science as far as conservation goes, you can get involved in this bird count. And so there's many circles around here. I know there's one in Bucyrus. There's one in Mount Gilead, the centerpiece being the Mount Gilead State Park. There's one, Delaware State Park is the centerpiece for that. Our centerpiece here in Marion County is the Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area. But it extends out, like I said, 15 miles in every direction from the Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area is where you can go count birds. So you can count birds in your backyard. You can go like we did to the Big Island Wildlife Area and count birds out there. I bet we put probably 10 or 12 miles on the ground looking for birds yesterday. But it was enjoyable. It's totally low pressure. You go out with a sheet that has all of the birds you might see listed on it. When you spot a bird and you make a positive ID, you can go out with your friends. You can go out with your family, right? When you make a positive ID on a bird, you just put a little tick right next to that bird, right? It says you counted it. If you see more than one of those birds, just write the number that you saw. So yesterday, I think we saw something crazy like, maybe 25, 30 field sparrows, right, just throughout the day. And so we ticked every one of those field sparrows, and at the end of the day, we added them all up. There were 20, 25, 30 of them. So it's just counting not only the species of birds that you're seeing, but every single individual bird that you're seeing. You're putting a count on that as well. And those numbers get compiled and sent to Audubon, which runs the national Christmas bird count. So this is happening from state to state, right? Everybody's having these bird counts around this time of year. And so those will all get compiled, all those numbers, and those numbers will be used for migration data, or, you know, biologists or naturalists may use, you know, these bird numbers or bird locations for conservation projects and things like that. So it's pretty exciting, great for bird conservation. And really just a nice thing to do around Christmas time. It's a really interesting tradition to have, to go count birds.
Right. And I just want to follow up with, you know, that anybody can do it. There's the ODNR has some great free resources for field guides where, you know, you might be getting out there and seeing a bird that you've never seen before. You don't know how to identify it. You know, having those free resources for the novices who want to get outside, they want to get involved, but they might feel a little intimidated or pressured, you know, to feel like they might not help. It's a good way to get started.
Absolutely. And we have just numerous fantastic birders in the area, and every single one of them are involved in this bird count. And each and every one of those birders would be happy to take you under their wing, let's say, right? And show you their, you know, spots to go birding. They'll teach you the ethics of birding, you know, and they'll help you identify these birds as well. So they'll take you out there. I took out a beginning birder yesterday, and they had a fantastic time. They had so much fun out there just looking for birds. And really, that's all we were doing. We were walking the fields, walking the woodlines, looking and counting birds. And it was a full day.
Yeah, it sounds somewhat relaxing just to go out and do that.
Yeah.
And also, your resources now, you don't have to carry a book with you. You can have your phone with you.
Oh,
and,
my goodness, yes.
And look up your birds.
So I am old school in that I do carry a book with me. So I carry my hard copy field guide with me, and I used it a lot yesterday, actually. Mm-hmm. I opened that book many times. But I also have a couple apps on my phone. I think my favorite for birding is the Merlin app. It's just called Merlin, M-E-R-L-I-N. And you can download packs of birds. So there'll be like the Northeastern pack, or there'll be like the Midwestern pack, right? So you download these packs of birds, and not only does it give you pictures of these birds, it gives you a little bit about their life history, right? And then you can also go in, look at their, or hear, rather, their sounds, their calls, okay. things like that. Yeah. And then it'll give you a map for breeding ranges or migration routes or, I mean, basically anything you would want to know about this mm-hmm. bird. It's mm-hmm. all right there. So that's a fantastic app. And I use that a lot with children. Because they're often more interested in hearing the birds rather than sure. just looking at a page full of words. So it's a good introduction app for kids especially.
And it's super easy to use. One of the, just like in a field guide, one of the common things of saying it's a red bird, and it pulls up everything in your area.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
And so then you can identify where it is based on the color of the bird. So.
Okay, cool. So if I'm outside and I see a bird I don't recognize, go to Merlin.
Merlin, yeah.
And it's a brown bird, so I put it in brown.
Yeah.
And can probably find it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just look for those field markings, any sort of, like, plumage, you know, differential or anything like that, right? Just look for some face markings or anything. If it's white on the belly or red on the belly or dark up top, right? Any information you have about that bird is going to be helpful. Another online resource that's really, really nice and that probably has the most... most compiled information about birds that I've ever come across is all about birds, and that's through Cornell University. So I'm on that website all the time, probably once a day. Yeah.
Did you see a lot of geese out there?
Didn't see any geese.
Really?
No geese. Yeah.
Seems like there are more geese and they're staying around here.
Yeah.
All year round.
Yeah.
They didn't used to do that.
Well, they didn't mean didn't used to be that many geese. So. Increase in numbers, and they've got to find a spot to land. So,
I can remember when I was growing up, Grandpa would bring us over here to Kildare Plains.
Yeah,
when the geese were migrating.
Oh yeah,
and it was a great thing to go see all these geese. But now we're tired of geese. Geese poop everywhere.
They do. They've got a great conservation story, though. I think they're magnificent birds. I always respect especially Canada geese. Because they're such a big bird, and it's not often that you can get as close as you usually do to these big birds, right? Mm-hmm. They're just massive, bulky birds, and so that's pretty special. And a lot of times, especially if you live, you know, if you live in an urban area or in a city, right, that goose might be the biggest bird you've ever seen, right? And you can go to the local park and have an interaction with that bird. And hopefully it's positive, right? But sometimes it might not be.
That could be kind of a foul interaction, too.
Yeah. They can be aggressive for sure, but I always like to see the positive qualities.
Okay. Let me explain that, Tyler. Foul is in F-O-W-L.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Play on words there. Okay. Any other birds? Did you see any ducks? Are ducks around this time of year?
No. So I think I mentioned this on the show, maybe in the spring. But there's just been a lack of ducks around. I guess I saw some mergansers in the fall headed down the Olentangy. And I kicked up some wood ducks in the back end of the Teradice property months and months ago. And, of course, mallards are always around. A lot of mallards are residential, so they'll be here all winter. But as far as ducks go, and I didn't really go looking for ducks this year, admittedly, but I really didn't see as many as I would have expected or as many as years in the past. And there's been a discussion in the conservation world about where are all the ducks. Mm-hmm. So we're just... not sure.
This was a particularly hard year for migratory birds because of the spring we had. It was super, super warm.
Right.
And it kind of tricked them to coming in. And then we had a very, very cold freezing spell.
Yeah.
At least at Eco Center, we came very, very close to losing a lot of our purple martins that come there because they were all huddled together. And the freeze got the one on the outside. And I lowered everything and checked, and there were 18 birds in one gourd just from them huddling, yeah, trying to keep warm. But for the first year since we put up our gourds, we lost five adults this, yeah, year to the cold snap.
Yeah, yeah. And if folks were paying attention and they have feeders or they put out fruit for the Orioles, they would have noticed that the Orioles, Baltimore Orioles, along with the red-breasted grosbeaks, they stuck around for longer than usual. Usually they're here for, you know, just a couple weeks at best, but we started to notice that they were sticking around for a long time, and it's because of that cold spell. They depend a lot on insects to give them that immediate energy to keep heading north, and the insects just weren't around, and mm-hmm. so they had to make a little bit of a longer stop than mm-hmm. than they normally would have. So that definitely affected a lot of the migratory birds. Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned purple martins. My dad had built purple martin houses. One looked like a barn, one looked like a, yeah, house. They're very useful birds for us, from what I understand, as far as getting rid of the insects and things like that.
Yeah, they're amazing. A misconception is that they're huge predators of mosquitoes, but they fly so high, a lot of what they eat are dragonflies.
Okay.
But we've really just thoroughly enjoyed having them. We are lucky. We put the gourds up in May, and we had some sub-adults, the scouts, come in within 2 weeks. So I've heard that was very, very fortunate, because sometimes it can take 5, 6, 7 years to attract a colony, mm-hmm, of martins. And we have some local birders nearby that have existing colonies, and so we have communication with them, and we feel like maybe some of the sub-adults came over to us and started their own colony.
And that's a really, speaking of summer camp earlier, that's a great opportunity, mm-hmm, that the summer campers have, mm-hmm, is to observe these purple martins. Every single day that the campers are there, they can listen and observe these purple martins, these beautiful birds, right, go out and tend to their fledglings. But occasionally we'll bring the gourds down and just kind of see what's going on inside.
The life cycle, for, yeah, sure. For sure. And they have such a beautiful call. I mean, it's, mm-hmm, almost electronic, you know,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
very, very interesting, very social, you know. So we've really enjoyed the birding aspect of Eco Center.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up with, my mom always had bird feeders out front of the kitchen, and, mm-hmm, you know, identifying and feeding during the winter. And then when we had this property and we put up the boxes, we have tree swallows that come every year, eastern bluebirds, the martins. We have a couple wrens that nest regularly, and just, they have personalities. Each species kind of has its different way of, mm-hmm, life, you, mm-hmm, know, and very, very enjoyable. The kids love it, my kids, and the summer campers as well. It's something that, yeah, kind of has become a staple for our programming of collecting that information for the citizen science programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One bird I haven't seen much of lately is the Baltimore Oriole. Are they still around?
Oh, yeah. 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 Baltimore Orioles. Yeah.
And don't they build that unique, like, sack-type, mm-hmm, nest?
Yeah, that hanging nest. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're still around, and sometimes you'll get a nesting pair. You know, in this area, I wouldn't say it's common, but it's not uncommon, right? So it's not like an anomaly to have a nesting pair here in central Ohio. But yeah, they're usually moving up north a little bit more than where we are. But yeah, that bird's doing fine. Yeah,
good. That's good to hear.
Yeah. they are hard to spot, though. If you want to see some Orioles, I definitely recommend orange slices in the spring. Cut them in half and set them next to your feeders.
Really?
Yeah, they'll come in for that. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. Every single time. Yep, if there's an Oriole around, they'll seek that out for sure. They love that sugary fruit, right?
Oh,
grape jelly, I hear a lot, works to bring in the Orioles. But if you are interested in doing some birding, and Mike, this goes to you, or this, mm-hmm, goes to anybody listening.
I won't get up at 4:30 in the morning, but yeah,
I won't require that.
Okay.
Of you. So Headwaters and Teradice, we're going to put together a birdathon in the spring. It's going to be in May during the Neotropical Bird migration, right? So these are birds coming from Central South America. They're very, very teeny tiny. Most of them are warblers. So very, very teeny tiny songbirds. They're going to be moving through up to Canada to do their breeding. And we're going to try and just count as many species as we absolutely can in May. So that's going to be headwaters and pterodactyls. Anybody interested in doing some birding or just learning the basics of birding, getting on your first bird count, we're going to have an opportunity coming up here really, really soon. So that's part of our Feet on the Ground Hands-On Conservation Project or program that we're putting on through pterodactyls in 2021. Which are our individual conservation projects each month. So each month we'll have a different project. So May is going to be a birdathon. We're going to have some fun. Depending on where and when and what COVID is doing then,
right.
It will affect, you know, what we'll be doing. But we're going to try and get some T-shirts out for that, participation T-shirts. We're going to have some fun awards for, you know, most species seen or most exotic species scene or the early bird award, right? Whoever gets out there earliest. So we've
James
got,
Anderson.
It will be James
probably,
Anderson.
Probably,
yes. But it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a fun day out there for that. Some of the other projects that we have coming up, and one in particular that I want to thank our community for helping us with so far, is we are collecting holiday trees, retired holiday trees, live trees.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, yes.
Yeah.
I saw pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. So our goal was to collect 100 old retired, I'm calling them retired holiday trees, from this year. And what we're going to do with them is we're going to bunch them together. We're going to pack them into two or three into a pack. We're going to tie them to a cinder block, and then we're going to sink them in Mount Gilead Lake in partnership mm-hmm. with Mount Gilead State Park. We got cleared to sink 100 trees later in January with the Department of Wildlife. And so we're very, very excited for that. So why are we sinking trees? It's for the fish, for sport fish in the lake. It's for habitat for juvenile fish, fry fish that are looking for places to escape predation, right, from bigger
right.
fish,
mm-hmm.
So they can grow up and be big and strong and you can catch them later on in life.
But doesn't that also make a good spawning place for a lot of the fish as well?
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Habitat like that is a great spawning location. But the main purpose there being for those already, you know, out moving about fish mm-hmm. That just need a place to kind of hide and hang out. So we're sinking 100 to hopefully 100 trees. Right now we've got 84 trees out in front of Pterodactyls. 84
okay.
trees. So that is pretty amazing. We just sent out the request for trees, maybe 48 hours ago, and we've got 84 trees laying out there. So it's pretty fantastic.
So if people have a tree, just bring it over, drop it off. They need to
contact
we will, you or just drop
we
it
will
off
have signage out there eventually. But at this point, with a pile of trees out there, it's pretty easy to see where they go. It's right across the road from Pterodactyls Nature Center in kind of an empty lot over there. You're going to see a couple mulch piles and then a big pile of Christmas trees. There's no need to contact me if you're dropping off a tree. One thing you will have to do is you've got to take off any of the decor, the garland or the you know, decorations. Star on top for sure. Make sure you keep that for next year, right? But we would be happy to take it. No need to contact me for that. Just drop it off. You can also drop it off at the state park. They're accepting trees out there as well.
In Mount Gilead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Now, the teacher in me wants to clarify that these are once live trees.
These are once alive trees. please don't drop off your plastic trees. We can't sink those, but we will happily take your once alive trees that are no longer all dressed up for the holidays. Holidays are over.
And in the past, we've given the location of Pterodactyls, but you haven't done that yet today. So
yes.
People need to know where that is if they don't already.
1536 Whetstone River Road North. That's important. The north is important. Mm-hmm. Caledonia, Ohio. So we are just 1 mile south of the village of Caledonia. If you're on 309 and you catch Whetstone River Road, take that all the way south down the turn right there with the cemetery. And we're going to be on your left-hand side. Mm-hmm. So,
or you can come from 95 as well.
You absolutely can. Yep.
A little bit trickier that way.
If you're coming out, if you're on 95, if you take 746 north, that'll take you to a turn. You're going to see a stop sign The road's going to tee off to Whetstone River Road. When you're at that stop sign, if you look right, you're going to see Liberty Elementary. Please go left. And when you go left, you're going to go around a turn, and we are going to be maybe half a mile down the road on your left. But the trees are going across the road, so they'll be on your right.
Okay. What other plans are there for 2021 for Terradice? We talked about your plans, Emily. So what's some of your plans?
Yeah, a lot of our efforts are going into these conservation projects. So like I said, January is our tree sink for fish habitat. And in, let's see, February, we're doing a prairie clearing. So we're trying to clear a lot, actually where we're dropping the trees now, we're going to clear that area for a lot more wildflower propagation over there. So we're pretty excited about that. We're going to team up with Natives in Harmony with Gail Martin. In March, we are building duck boxes with Whetstone Industries. So we're going to build wood duck boxes. Wood ducks are cavity nesters. So they look for cavities in trees, a lot of sycamore trees, you know, usually. And so we are going to build nest boxes to try and encourage wood ducks to nest along the Olentangy River there. So we're pretty excited about that. That's a very exciting project. So I don't know how many boxes are going to go up, but our goal is to make about 25 of them. And I think we're going to accomplish that. Let's see. I have a list on my phone. I'm going to have to bring up some reminders here. Like I said, in May, we're doing our bird count. That's early May. In April, we're going to do a roadside cleanup along Caledonia. So we're going to team up with Angie Carbetta on that one. So that's going to be pretty exciting. And we're going to coordinate with Eco Center's Earth Day here, so we're not on top of each other for that one. And then in June, I would really like to have conservation education be our focus. And that's usually when we put on summer camp. So that's going to be our focus then with Eco Center there. And then in July, we're going to do a macroinvertebrate survey with ODNR Scenic Rivers with Christine Schminsky. She's going to be great. We have a talk with Christine on our YouTube channel if you want to check that out. She talks all about macroinvertebrates. So she's going to come out and pull some off the bottom of the river, which is going to be super, super exciting. In August, we're teaming up with the Olentangy Watershed Alliance and then also Delco to put on a river cleanup. So we're going to float down the river there from north of Caledonia to the Nature Center, pull up any tires or anything we might see that it's just kind of blockading the river, making it a little dirtier than it needs to be. So we're going to try and clean up the river there over near Caledonia. In September, we're hoping to do a tree planting. Really hoping to do a tree planting, but we need a place to plant trees, believe it or not. So we're in contact with a couple different locations. Unfortunately, at Terradice, not much for us to do out there. We've got a ton of trees and don't really have a need for any more. So if you're interested in working with us in September for a tree planting, please, please, please get a hold of us. In October, we're going to do a habitat project. So we are going to basically build brush piles out there at Terradice and encourage some wild hare, brown hare habitat. And then in December, I skipped over November here. November is going to be all about conservation funding and how that works. And then in December, we are going to work with Blake Matthews at Ohio Dominican for his owl survey. So just like we talked about this December, we're just going to play a bigger part in that owl survey next December. So that's going to be really, really exciting.
Right. Sounds like a full year. And of course, all this depends on what happens with COVID.
And all of this depends on what's going on.
You'll have to adjust, possibly.
Yeah, we will. The other thing we have going on is we've received grant funds through Marion Community Foundation to buy programming supplies for another citizen science project that we're doing where we invite smaller groups of up to 20. It's really focused on grade school kids, K through 8. But it's basically citizen science along the Olentangy. So getting kids out in the river to do macroinvertebrate sampling or water quality sampling or doing plot sampling with the trees in the area or plants in the area, wildflowers in the area. So that is really where we're taking the hit with COVID because we don't know when we're going to be able to invite classes out.
But you've had some fantastic online classes this past year.
It's not
the same as being in person, yeah. But...
That's true. Yeah, that's true. We tried to keep the content as fresh as possible and keep our YouTube to the brim there with different videos coming out. So each of the videos this year, the plan is to go along with our conservation project that we're doing. So, you know, the video in January will be about fish habitat. And then we'll talk about blue herons a little bit, too. So that'll be exciting.
Okay. Are there a lot of fish there in the Olentangy, that section down through there? It's moving water, so I can't imagine there's a lot of fish.
It's moving water, but there are some places where it pools up. The struggle with it is it's so inconsistent, you know, with its water level. You might get lucky out there and pull up a smallmouth bass or something like that. There are a lot of smaller fish in there, darters and, mm-hmm. and sucker fish and things. But as far as sport fish goes on our little corner there, you can fish out of the river, totally okay. If you want to come to Teradice and fish out of the river, that's fine. Please buy a fishing license to do so.
Sure.
Which you can do online now, right? It's so super, so super easy. Yeah, okay. And you can keep it right on your phone, so no issue there. Another great place to fish in the area would be off of the Junior River Patrol parking, which is a boat launch area. It's about 100 yards, what direction would that be, east of us.
Okay.
So that's another great fishing spot out there. You can also fish our little farm pond, which does have some smallmouth bass in there, which we've never stocked, so we assume come from the river when it floods, and they just get trapped out in the farm pond over mm-hmm. there. So that's what we assume, but... yeah, as far as fishing, good luck.
Well, Emily, how did your Halloween thing go?
Outstanding.
I can't think what it was called. But
no, yeah, our haunted trail.
Yes, that was it, yes.
Yeah, Phobia Haunted Trail was outstanding. It was a pretty rough year emotionally and financially for us with COVID, and we sure. went back and forth, you know, on whether or not we could host the trail and do it safely. So we made some adjustments to the group sizes and so forth, and you know, I can't say enough about the volunteers that came out and the customers that came out. It really was great. Mm-hmm. A record-breaking crowds this year and a lot of great feedback. So for what started as kind of like a backyard haunt, we've been doing it now. This was our sixth year. We are making jokes amongst ourselves who have been in it from the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. actors that come back year after year who just love acting and scaring. And, you know, a car would pull in and we'd be warming ourselves around the fire and we'd say, a car just pulled in, and we'd run back to the woods and get in our spots, you know, compared to 3 constant hours of people coming in. And so right. it was super heartwarming and great. Very successful year. Thank you.
That's good to hear.
Yes.
COVID has messed with everything.
Yes.
And you were probably one of the few such activities in the area this year, I'm going to guess.
Yes, it is. I saw a statistic that said that only 4 out of every 10 haunts opened this year, because a lot of them are indoor.
Right.
We had the benefit of always being an outdoor haunt. You know, so they stand in line outdoors. They've always gone back with the group that they came in with. It's one way in, one way out. We've never been a touching haunt,
right.
So you come in and it's a no-touch haunt. So there were a lot of things in our favor to allow us to be able to pull that off successfully and safely. But yeah, it hit the haunt community pretty hard as well. And Tyler and I have talked a lot this year just about, you know, the emotion of not having our school groups come in. And
right.
And he's really stepped up with the online, the webinars and the online resources of putting stuff together where people can have that educational resource. And, you know, but it doesn't fill that void of, you know, the canceled field trips in the spring and in the fall and summer camp. We had, 4 weeks planned out. 3 of them got canceled. 1 of them got postponed till August. And so there were a lot of adjustments, but we learned from it for mm-hmm. sure. And we made it through. And the 2 events that we did have, we're very successful, and I think we did it the right way, so we're proud of that.
And you were featured on some pretty notable haunt media sources, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was crazy. Somebody got a hold of our name, and his name is Maximus Bryant, and he reached out to us, and he came and did an interview and featured us on a national platform within Facebook that
really?
You know, goes nationwide. And
yeah.
So we did. We got a lot of good reviews and just a lot of publicity that, you know, we weren't asking for or having to to seek out. So,
and it really is very fun. It really
it is.
It's also terrifying, but it's fun. I don't do good with scares.
I don't either. I don't either. I never have. Part of it's fun, but part of it's you don't want to be around me when I go through a haunted house or whatever.
Yeah, no, and fielding calls from clients who are calling in, you know, we always recommend 10 and up. I think of our haunt from a mother standpoint. Mm-hmm. We're not vulgar and we're not super gory, but we focus on the psychological side of scaring. You know, mm-hmm. like being disoriented, being in the dark, being out in the middle of, you know, a 4-acre woods where that you're not familiar with. Even, you know, for Tyler and I who are back there all the time, once that sun is setting, you know, and you have all these obstacles and so forth, it's disorienting.
Yeah. Yes. That's the word I was going to use, yes.
Yeah, I can get turned around easy out there.
I can understand that dark. Very much, yes. So that went well. That's good to hear. Tyler, we haven't really, I know where the Yuko Center is,
yes.
But why don't you tell people where that is? Not much going on there right now. But.
Right. We're just a couple miles from Teradyce Nature Center. So if you're headed out on 309, you're going to turn right at the Caledonia Cemetery that wraps around and it becomes County Road 59, which is 1757 County Road 59. We're hooked up into Google Maps, so you can type in Eco Center directions, and it'll get you right to us.
Okay, that's County Road 59. So is that actually Morrow County then?
We are, yes, half a mile from the county line. We're actually in River Valley School District.
Okay, yes.
So we have a hybrid property of being in Morrow County, but in a Marion County School District.
Okay, very good. That's quite a resource to have here in our community, and people need to take advantage of it as they can. Tyler, you haven't talked much about the house and the facilities there. We've talked about the outside. Let's talk about the house, what's available there. We've talked about it in the past, but there might be some folks who haven't heard it before.
Sure, yeah. So one of our main revenue generators through Teradyce Nature Center, and it has just been tremendous for us this year and proving to be quite the powerhouse for 2021 as well. We actually Airbnb the Romine residence, which was Ray and Trella Romine's house that was built in 1952 out there at Teradyce. It's the centerpiece of the Teradyce Nature Center property. It is a 2-bedroom, full kitchen, living space. You know, there's washer, dryer, internet, everything out there, all the amenities, right? And what basically an Airbnb is it's a I'll say bed and breakfast without the breakfast, unless you're making it, where you can rent it through the Airbnb website for $100 a night, $150 on weekends, and you can stay as long as your heart desires. It's a really, really great alternative to something like a hotel. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very quiet area out there, and just to have all that green space, which you can access, you know, at any time is really, really great. We've got some guests in the house right now. They're very interested in the birds around. So they have provided us with all sorts of bird feeders. That is fantastic. And then going into 2021, we have some renters coming in for a long period of time then too. So I don't think we're open to renters until maybe April.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, is kind of, it's unfortunate for everybody that wants to stay, but fortunate for those who are staying, and then us as well, right? Because, you know, big revenue maker for us.
Most certainly.
Yeah. So it's definitely, definitely beneficial. I wasn't sure how I felt about it when I first came on to Direct Teradyce there. I thought, well, this is kind of, it feels a little weird, right? It feels a little weird to have these long-term stays at our nature center. But it's turned out to be, you know, mostly a positive force in the work that we're doing. Because we get people from all over the place. Just this last year, we had, for about a month, some fellows from New Mexico staying at Teradyce, and they were just astounded by the wildlife they were seeing out there, just astonished with how different things were, right? And we get some folks that are from the, you know, urban areas, the inner city, that stay out at Teradice for a week and are just blown away by the river that you can see outside the window, how quiet it is, mm-hmm. right? You can hear the barred owls hooting from across the river. So it's really, really nice. Yeah, it's
and
a nice...
And it is, right in the living room. They have this huge, mm-hmm. you know, picture window that you can see right down on, you know, the vantage point is right there on the Olentangy. And so it's really a getaway.
Oh, yeah. Private parking. So it's great. Some of the projects we're doing in there, we're hoping that as soon as we get a delay in some of the stays, we can get in there and just do some updates, paint the walls, maybe reset some trimming and things like that. We've got a deck project that we're working on here. You know, the deck on the east side of the house, I think was built, had to have been the 90s. So, you know, it's it definitely needs an update. And so that's what we're working on frequently, just, you know, going into 2021. But like I said, we are going to put in those projects when we get kind of a delay in stays or kind of a halt in people renting as to not disturb them. So it's going to be exciting.
I'm sure. Now, if somebody wants to volunteer, let's say they have great carpenter skills or they like to dig or, you know.
Hey, we love volunteers.
What do you need? How do you go about volunteering?
We love volunteers. Hey, you can go to our website. That's www.teradice.org. Teradice is Teradise. And you can find a, you know, volunteer for Teradice tab up on the website. And it will give you some options as far as, you know, what your skills are. But you can also leave a comment that tells us what our skills are, too. And that will go directly to me via an email, so I'll see it. Or you can just email me, right? And that's probably the easiest thing to do. So my email is my first initial and last name, so TBUTLER at Teradice. That's TERRADISE.org. And just shoot me an email and let me know what you're interested in. If you're interested in volunteering for the conservation-based projects, we definitely need volunteers there. If you want to cut down some trees, February is the month for you, right? And if you're interested in maybe a deck rebuild, just let me know that you would be interested in that, and we will coordinate with you. I've had a few volunteers contact me just recently. Well, a volunteer contact me asking about bird banding and whether we'd be interested in that in the coming years. And of course we would. So that's pretty exciting. But whatever your skills are, we can put them to work for sure.
So if they're helping you with a bird banding, would that be band-aiding?
Oh.
I have to get that in there. Sorry.
It would be band-aiding. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's a project. I don't want to go too far into that one because it's so up in the air right now. Right. But, that would be exciting maybe for 2022 if we make it there.
we'll make it.
Yeah.
What about donations? Do you need? Could you use monetary donations? Things like paint for
sure. Yeah.
What do you need? Gift certificates from Menards or Lowe's?
Yeah, those would be great. Yeah, any sort of course, monetary donations are always appreciated, and you can do that. You can do that in a lump sum, or we have an option a couple different ways. You can go to our Patreon, or there's a monthly kind of like subscription-based donation that, you know, is $2, $5, $10, $20 a month, mm-hmm. Which is pretty easy to manage there. And then any in-kind donations, are always helpful. Just shoot me an email and let me know what you have, and I'll be happy to come out and take a look at you. Maybe you and whatever you might have that you think we might be interested in. And or if you want to bring it by, just give me a call. All of my contact information is on the website. Give me a call, shoot me an email, let me know what you have, and if we can use it, we'd be happy to take it. We'll send you all our tax information if that's something you would be interested in having to deduct from your taxes. Happy to do that and encourage it, actually.
It's the perfect time of the year. I'm a board member at mm-hmm. Teradice, and so it's a perfect time of the year. We got 5 more days to get those taxed deductible donations into, if it's not Teradice, any local nonprofit can really use the help this year, especially.
Yeah, certainly.
So pick your favorite organization.
Sure, yes.
And,
yes.
and reach out and consider giving a donation this year if you can.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'll ask you the same thing, Emily. How are you with volunteers? Do you need volunteers for anything?
In the spring, definitely, as we're getting our bird boxes up and cleaned out from the winter. We always have trail maintenance going on. Always looking for people for the Community Earth Day event. We get some sponsorships from some amazing involved local organizations and companies here in Marion and Morrow County. But yeah, just any interest in working with kids, working in nature, help on the farm. We have goats and chickens. And so just any opportunity that you're looking for between the two of us, Tyler and I work hand in hand throughout the year, really just brainstorming ideas back and forth on how we can collaborate and so forth. And so if you want to get involved between Eco Center and Terradice, I'm sure we can find something that would be of interest to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Emily and Tyler from the Eco Center and from Terradice, it was good to have you on here today. You provide a lot of interesting information.
Yeah, likewise.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
We'll have you back again soon. Let me know when you want to be on, and I might call you before you call me. We'll see. But you've been listening to The Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. Be listening again next Sunday. Next Monday afternoon at 5:15 to The Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. I forgot which station I was on.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, the place for the best guest.